I have no need. Welcome to worship on Wednesdays. I'd like to remind everyone, adults and kids alike, if you have your cell phones with you, please turn them on vibrate. I have to remind everybody, in the middle of service Sunday, somebody's phone went off in the corner, so I have to remind myself. So just as a reminder, make sure your cell phones are turned off, or on vibrate at least. We have a guest in the house tonight. Kathleen Murphy is here. She has she's an applicant for our youth minister position. She's sitting in the back next to Miss Karen Miles. You guys all make her feel welcome. Okay, any praise or prayer requests? And I'm sorry, I am so full from dinner I can hardly talk. Morgan. So he is back in the hospital?
He is back in the hospital.
Okay. All right, Brandon? Praise God. Okay. Andrew? Jesse? Come on. Unspoken? Okay. Allie? Okay. Who? Colt? Dylan? What? Hey, you know what? I am so excited that y'all are so excited to put people on the prayer, but let's just not get overexcited here. Okay, and Bo Gilroy is the football player at Ravenwood, and he broke his femur in three places in the game Friday night. He's a senior and a star athlete, not only in football but also in, is it cross country or track, Clay? So he had a lot of colleges looking at him, and this has got to be devastating for him. So, okay, Jacqueline. Also, let's put the suspect on the prayer list, too. I know it's hard when you've lost somebody you love to such a tragic murder, but they need our prayer probably as much as anybody. So we need to put the suspect on the prayer list. Jade, were you going to? Jerry. Megan. What's Megan's last name, honey?
Wall.
Michael? Your mom? Okay. Okay. Jesse? Heather? What's your name? Lane Rosenkrantz. Okay, anyone else? Travis? Okay. Anyone else?
Speak for our pastors, are you doing some prayers? Why are we going for our period?
Yeah. Yeah, that's at 7:30 in the morning, I believe, at Williamson. Wait a minute. Nikki? No. We've got 9 of our kids are going on a retreat to Crystal Springs with Murfreesboro Presbytery this weekend, so keep them safe. Travel. Anybody else? Jennifer? Jerry Sarsham's Hoffer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
If you could keep my parents in your prayers, and also my husband's cousin, who is about 15 years old, broke her leg the first day of volleyball practice, and she's out for the whole season. I think she feels worse about missing out on the season of play than she is about her
This
play.
Is your name?
My husband's cousin.
Okay. Okay. Howard's and Jensen's. Anyone else? Dina? Great. Amen. Okay. Brandon? Okay. Michael? Yeah. Cherise? He what? Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Everybody shut our eyes. Focus on why you're here tonight. Put Jesus in your thoughts. And put your social. I know it's good to socialize and to commune with those that are like-minded around you, but tonight we're here to worship God. So let's focus on God and worship Him. I'm going to name the prayer list. Hannah Wilker's teacher, who has a 4-year-old with cancer. Larry Gewin. Jerry Hoffer, him and his parents, Amy Johnson, the Howards, the Jensens, Sharice's grandfather, Sharice's uncle, Chris Piper, Henry Tidwell, Casey Newsom, Unspoken, 9/11, Colt Moss, Bo Gilroy, Lee's family and friends, also for the suspect in his murder, Justin Stockholm, Shelby and Megan Wall, Sean Rudolph, Vince Young, Lane Rosenkrantz, all the young girls at Page who are expecting babies. Lord, we lift these names up to you. We know that you know their needs better than we. And we just pray your will would be done in their life. We pray for healing for those who are sick. We pray for spiritual growth for those who have just come to know you. We pray for comfort for those who are sad. We pray for work for those who are without work. homes for those who are homeless, love for those who feel that they have no one. We lift all these up to you, Lord. We pray that you would be with the message tonight, that your spirit would speak through those who are bringing the message, and that we would hear and understand what it is you want us to know tonight. It's your name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing again. If you can stand, if you're able, you're able unless you're on crutches. But if you don't, if you're older and you don't feel like standing, that's fine too. But you're able to stand. And we're going to sing. Let's worship God. Get in the mood. We're going to treat our sorrows for the joy of the Lord. All the prayer requests that we just gave, we know that Jesus is the answer.
I'm treating my sorrows. I'm treating my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm treating my sickness. I'm treating my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And we see yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm treating my sorrow. I'm treating my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm treating my I'm gonna go to the Lord.
Everlasting God came to Moses, and he told Moses, I've heard my people crying out to me because they're in captivity, and I intend to set them free, but I have a big job for you to do. So whenever Moses heard what God's plan was, he said, well, who am I supposed to tell them sent me? And his answer was, I am that I am. And his name was so sacred to the Jews of that day that they would not even speak the name. We have it recorded, just four consonants, YHWH. Nobody really knows how to pronounce it. The English pronunciation is Jehovah. The Hebrew pronunciation is Yahweh. So this next song is called Yahweh. He's worthy of all of our praise. And he did indeed set the captives free, and he still sets captives free.
Oh,
for bringing us together tonight. We are not worthy to pronounce your name, so holy it is, so holy you are. But thank you for sending Jesus to save us from our sins and from all these impurities. And thank you for giving the access to you through your Son. Thank you for not counting all our sins and mistakes and crimes we've done, but being merciful and loving and saving us. Thank you for the blood, that precious blood that was shed on the cross. Thank you for dying. Thank you for paying this price. Thank you for doing that for us. And I ask you, please give us the power of your Spirit to be able to live this pure life that would be the light to others. It would be a good example, and first of all, it would be pleasing you and making you glad when you're looking at us. We want to do the right choices, but we need the strength from you. And it's so amazing that you came to this earth. I mean, we are just tiny people compared to the whole universe, tiny creatures. But you are thinking a lot about us.
Thank you.
May be seated. Okay, our message tonight is coming from Emily Rosenberry and Guest. So Emily, if you want to come on up.
Okay, I'm nervous, so bear with me. Tonight I was supposed to be preaching with Paul Tucker, but he got sick, so I'm doing it by myself now. Okay, so we were going to preach about Puerto Rico and do like a testimony, but now I'm going to talk about ways to show others about your love for God. We all know that cramming a Bible down someone's throat is not the best way to go. And you can probably get a more effective response if you take a more subtle path. One example I have for that is Christian jewelry, like necklaces, bracelets, stuff like that. Number two is having a Christian outlook on life, like watching your language in public and everywhere, and showing people that you're happy being a Christian. And the third I have is a shirt. And I have a cool fact about the Christian t-shirt. Did you know the average Christian t-shirt is read 3,000 times before it makes it to the yard sale? It's pretty cool. Okay, so I want to share a story tonight. And it's about a man who showed me his love for God to my family at the movies. Okay, so my mom, my grandmother, my sister, my cousin, and I all went to the movies for our girls' day, and we saw Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. And on our way out, you know, there's a wishing fountain out there, and we all decided to toss a penny in. Well, my sister overthrew, and it landed on the other side, and very average-looking guy was sitting on the other side, and he got a hoot out of that and offered her another coin, and she generously gave it back and said that he should make a wish. So he stuck his hand in his other pocket and pulled out something that changed our day completely. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because tonight here with us is the average man that wasn't dressed like a Jehovah's Witness in a suit, shiny shoes, and a tie. He was wearing basketball shorts and a Tasmanian Devil shirt. My friend Terry.
First off, thank you very much for having me here. First of all, the music was beautiful. That was really good. I like that. This is very powerful for me. And the person that said, turn off the cell phones, you can leave them on if the only song it plays is The Saints Come Marching In, like my phone. Alright? It has gone off in our church. And so that's good, though. But like I said, this is very powerful for me. Carly, you want to come up and start passing out these crosses? And if you have a couple of friends that can help, this way everybody knows what we're talking about. also, while they're passing them out, I'd like to say, I'd like to introduce my beautiful wife back there of 4 months, Deborah. I've known her for 19 years, and about 2 years ago we reconnected. I think it was part of God's plan. But she's a very special person. A few people at my church asked me to film this because they also had programs on Wednesday night and everything. So, plus there's a group of guys that wanted me to film this. This is where they could see, and I'll explain that in a second. Does everybody have a cross? Pocket cross, they're called? Alright, everybody, there's a prayer behind the cross. If you want to go ahead and pull it out, we'll just go through that real quick. I'm going to try and do it in slow motion. My wife tells me I speak too fast when I say the prayer, but the prayer goes, I carry this cross in my pocket, a simple reminder to me of the fact that I'm a Christian no matter where it might be. This little cross isn't magic, nor is it a good luck charm. It isn't meant to protect me from any physical harm. It's not for identification for all the world to see. It's just a simple reminder between my Savior and me. When I reach my hand in my pocket to bring out a coin or a key, the cross is there to remind me of the price He paid for me. It reminds me, too, to be thankful for my blessings day by day and strive to serve Him better in all that I do or say. It's also a daily reminder in the peace and comfort I share to all who know my Master and give themselves to His care. So I carry this cross in my pocket, reminding no one but me that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, if only I'll let Him be. Amen. All right, that has touched me for the last 7 or 8 years. I've been handing these crosses out. I'm going to tell you how it all started out real quick. But let me tell you what 3 or 4 Saturdays ago consisted of. In December, and just tell you how God just opens doors. In December, for Christmas, I brought my wife, fiance at the time, a spa treatment over at LaBella's in Cool Springs. And she finally picked, 9 months later, to go that Saturday when I met Emily and her family. And so I decided to make it a day of it for her, make it real special and everything. I, like always, brought a bunch of crosses with me, approximately 20 of these pocket crosses. And at LaBella's, after she was done, I left about 10 of them there. They appreciated them. Took her to Fridays. Alright, had a wonderful dinner. The waitress was married to one of the waiters there, and they'd only been married a couple of months too, and I ended up giving about 5 there. And so we went to the movies. We had an hour to sit, and they explained that whole situation involving that young lady right there, and it broke me down. When I handed her that cross, I started talking to everybody else there, and all of a sudden she got my attention, and I reached down to her, and I said, can I help you, young lady? And she goes, I got something for you. Alright, at first she refused a penny and stepped away from me, actually. But she said she had something for me, and I said, what do you have for me, young lady? And she reached around my legs and gave me the biggest hug I ever received, and she looked up at me, and she said, I'm going to tell all my friends about this. I mean, it's been a while, so I'm a big man, 6'4", 300 pounds, and I don't cry much, but it broke me down. But why she picked that Saturday to go to the spa and places with these 5 wonderful young ladies, I don't know. Let me go quickly how it began. I was at my church probably 7 or 8 years ago, Hillcrest Methodist Church, right up Nolensville Road, at Tusculum, one block off, up on the hill. And I was in a discipleship class for 38 weeks. The first Monday I went in there, Jim, the guy that was running the class, there was 2 males and 9 females in the class. He handed out 1 cross to each one of us. It was so powerful to me, I showed it to the main pastor at the Davidson County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff's Office, Wayne Fleming. He was so impressed with it, he asked me to get 95 of them for the youth at his church. I said, well, let me see what I can do. The next Monday I went in, I said, Jim, where can I buy these? Oh, you can't buy them. My mom makes them. I said, wow, well, don't worry about it, Jim. You know, I went back and I told Wayne that next week, sorry, Wayne, I can't get them. You know, some lady from Alabama makes them. The next Monday I went back, Jim had 115 in a sack ready for me. And I was just floored. From that point on, Jim, a single man in his mid-50s, his mom would come down to visit 1 month, 1 week out of every month from Alabama and stay with him. So every 2 or 3 months, I'd get a sack of 50 or 60 to start handing out. And that became what I did. You know, just meeting anywhere, any place. There's been over 200 of these handed out in Guatemala, over 400 probably in Ireland, My mother lives in Ireland now. But that's how it all began. When it really went full circle was a year and a half ago. I took a trip with six other members of my church to Guatemala for 2 weeks in mid-July. And it was very powerful. We brought 150 crosses that I had made personally. And my wife had converted them into the Spanish prayer. And found out I was about 50 short. We worked on a church there from like 7 in the morning till 2. And then we had vacation Bible school for about 200 young children. So a couple of the other people there started helping me make them. This one lady, Donna Clark, from upstate New York, retired, and her husband Richard were there. And I kind of made a deal with her on the way back. They helped me make the crosses while we were there. We had enough for the kids and the families and stuff like that. But I made a deal with her. If you keep on making them for me, then I'll send you money for them, the postage and everything. Well, she got 4 other people involved. And they made about 2,000 of them in the first couple of months. She got sick, had a mini stroke and stuff like that. So they had to stop for a while, and they have stopped for a long time now. But they made these multicolored crosses for me. The reason why these are red, white, and blue, and when I first started the program at the jail where I work, I just felt that too many people are trying to take God out of this country, and that was my way of putting God back into the country. I'll also hand out these colorful ones that young ladies will love them. I love to see all these youth here. That's great. That's great. When I got back July 28th, the next day I was telling my wife about Donna Clark and everything, fiance at the time. I'm going to stop saying that. I just realized we got married four months ago. I told her all about the story as we were driving down the road, and she just came up with the idea, wow, wouldn't it be great if we could send 1,000 of these to the soldiers in Iraq? So I looked at her, I said, yeah, that's a pretty tall order. But then I started thinking about it. I went into work that night. I stayed over the next day. I worked from 11 o'clock at night till 7:30 in the morning for the Davidson County Sheriff's Office. I've been there 19 years. I'm a sergeant. I run one of our facilities out on Hardy. It's the work facility where you see the guys on the trucks out cleaning up Nashville, and the guys that go to work that owe child support money and all that stuff. They work their own jobs, come back. There's about 220 males there and about 30 females. And I started thinking about free labor. You know? So I talked to the administrator about it, and they kind of said, go ahead and try it. See what happens, you know? So anyway, I asked for volunteers, and first the females came out doing it for about a month, and for some reason they stopped. There's about 8 or 9 females involved, and why they stopped, I didn't ask why. It was a volunteer program. You know, nobody was getting anything for it. So I had a couple of the males making the crosses, making the plastic, cutting the plastic, and they said, why can't we do it? So I said, sure. Since the females weren't doing it, yeah. But this started August 5th of last year. They started making them the first 1,000. Well, I'll say that in a second. But I called the program at that time Thinking Positive. And the positive stand for praising our soldiers and their inevitable victories everywhere. As of right now, the inmates have made over 9,700 of these pocket crosses. The first 1,000 went to Camp Victory in Iraq. 1,500 went to Fort Benning, where they were going to send them to Iraq for me. The National Guard calls me every couple of months for 200 or 300. They send in packages over there. A lot of them have been started. The last 500 went to a church in Memphis. They wanted it for the homeless people, a lady I met and stuff like that. But they're getting spread all over now, and I'm very, very happy about that. My crew right now is a little short. It's like 5 or 6 guys. They come out. They make about 50 a night. The most I've ever made in one night is 134. So they're making them. They love doing it. They come out, turn the TV on. They talk about things going on in their lives, and it's just a wonderful thing. I'm going to tell you 2 quick stories that really kind of blew me away, like this other one a couple of weeks back, that helps me know that I'm doing the right thing by making sure these crosses are made and just continuing to do this. I was at my local Walmart about 3.5 years ago that was torn down here. And I was walking down in front of the cash registers, and all of a sudden somebody tapped me on the shoulder. I turned behind me, and it's about a 70-year-old lady with a Walmart smock on. And she looked up at me and said, do you remember me? And I've got to be very careful about what I say, because I've worked in the jails for 19 years, and most people I know, I see two or three people a week. And some of them might remember me because I'm very loud and boisterous, and they know I'm there. But it's hard to remember. But I say to the people all the time, "You look familiar. Where do I know you from?" And she reached into her pocket, and she pulled out a cross, and she said, "You gave this to me 11 months ago at the cash register." And she still had it in her pocket. That just floored me. Another situation just happened recently. We were taking Deborah to get her taxes done on Nolensville Road and Thompson Lane. There's an H&R Block there, and we had like an hour to wait, they said. So I said, "Let's go to this Burger King across the street." And I had never been in that Burger King. So the girl at the counter that was taking appointments and stuff like that, she looked like she was hungry. So we went over there, we ordered some food, and some guy comes from behind the boiler back there, says, "Lenahan, you remember me?" I said, "You look familiar, because I was one of your original cross makers." And we talked, and I asked him about church, and he said he was going and stuff, and everything was good. So we sat down and ate our meal, and at the end of the meal, I said to my wife, "Well, let me go get a Whopper Jr. for that girl working over there. She just looked hungry, and so why not?" So as I went up to the counter again, another individual, about 55 years old, comes walking out. Comes up, shakes my hand, says, "Lenahan, I just want to thank you for what you did the night before I got out of jail. You gave me one of those pocket crosses, and every day when I go to work or leave my house, I put it in my back pocket. And I take it with me," and he said, "I hope someday I can give it to somebody else that doesn't need it." All right? I mean, just stuff like that. There's other stories I could tell, keep you here for hours and hours. But I know you don't want that. You all got a life. After the ladies walked away and they started reading the prayer, I said to my wife, "Hold on a second." I ran over. I said, "Here goes my phone number. If you need any more of these crosses for family, people you know, just let me know and I'll mail them to you." Obviously, they knew I was of the right heart and everything, passing these out. Anyway, and I expected a call, maybe for some more of these crosses, but Emily called me and asked me to speak here, and I was overwhelmed and joyed, and anytime God opens doors like that, I take a chance and I just go right in. I'm a little nervous, probably a little bit more than she is, but that's okay. So I said I would do this. On Sunday, I called to confirm, and then Emily, before that, she was mentioning about getting to the kids in our high school and stuff like that, to the youth here, and everybody that was going to be here and stuff like that. When I talked, they talked about maybe 200 for a retreat. "I'll gladly give everyone you need. I got about 1,800 in my locker." But I was talking to one of my officers Sunday night, and he reads his Bible every night at work and everything like that. And he kind of gave me an analogy for this situation where if you know somebody's hungry and their family's hungry, you can give them some fish and they can eat that night. But why not teach them how to catch the fish? And then they can eat every night. All right? So I told Emily that I'm challenging the youth here. I mean, you've got high schools. I mean, these are an awesome thing that you can walk up to people, and people are afraid to hear what other people have to say. But when you walk up and you hand them this little pocket cross, right away they're intrigued about it. Where did it come from? You know, tell them inmates made it, or you tell them you made it yourself. You get a great thrill out of making them yourself and handing them out. But I see 20 youth here. And if you youth, and I brought a case, 72 sheets of the white plastic that you guys can have. I buy five cases at a time from Walmart. And you're looking at red, white, and blue crosses, but you can make them school colors, you can make them UT colors, you can make them Alabama colors, whatever colors you want. I'll get you a couple guys here one time, 20 minutes. Takes about 7 minutes to make each one. Parents can get involved, grandparents can get involved. An hour a week while they're watching TV, they can make five or six of these. It's not hard to do. Alright? Every time I hand out these crosses in big bunches, I'm hoping that somebody from that church will take and step up and start making them themselves. There's groups at churches where people like to sew and everything like that. Just do it. People will see that and they will say, "Wow, what is that? You're giving them something tangible. It's in your hand." They read that prayer. That's an awesome prayer. I don't know if you ever noticed, I wasn't reading it. That's in my heart. I mean, it's just unreal. So someday I'm hoping Emily will invite me back here for 30 minutes. I'll bring some yarn with me, show you what size to cut them, the needles you need, a couple of pairs of scissors, And if there's 15 youth involved, 3 a week, 20 minutes out of your life while you're watching TV, you'll have 45 a week. In 10 weeks, you'll have 450. Just apply to your whole church and whoever you want to do. And there's no stopping there. Like I said, get everybody involved. To me in life, and a lot of people, they are good, great Christians. Read the Bible, pray to God, stuff like that. But it's all about stepping out of the box. Alright? I mean, stepping out, feel uncomfortable. I know Jesus felt uncomfortable when he was making that last walk. But he did what he had to do. Alright? I mean, just, I didn't know them from anything. And they just walked up. I was scared that she was going to fall in the fountain at first. When she started throwing those pennies and everything, I was just taken by it. But just step out of the box. Do what you got to do. Hopefully you guys have all had a good upbringing. You look fine. You look great. You're here at church. That's one of the most important things in life. Man, I got a history that would blow most people away. When I was 14, I watched my brother Kevin. There were 7 kids in my family. Big Irish family. Irish Catholic family. 5 boys and 2 girls. When I was 14, from age 11 to 14, I watched my brother Kevin slowly pass away from cancer. He had a tumor the size of half a grapefruit that would grow back every time. They operated 5 times. After a while, it became inoperable. Alright? When I turned 16, and he passed away at 16, the doctors at the same hospital told me that I had a 40% chance to live with a brain tumor. Alright? They said my hair would grow back in a year, but it never did. The hair just grew over. At this point in my life, if you don't think I was walking away from God, and it wasn't about me, it was about my parents. My mom had always packed up 7 kids in a Volkswagen bus and made sure we were at church, catechism classes, just everything. I grew up learning about God. But stuff like it just pushed me away. When I was 22 and my younger brother was 21, we were at our local family restaurant, an Irish pub restaurant. Biggest burgers you ever eat. We were just there playing some pool. 2 guys came in there. They just got out of jail in Florida. Started troubling them. Me and my brother were cited for heroics. But he was shot 3 times and killed. I was shot 4 times. And for some reason, God had placed his shield of protection over me my whole life. And I've heard so many times, you're here for a certain reason. And I've always said it's to raise my beautiful 16-year-old daughter, and maybe she's going to do something special. But I guess this was part of what I was supposed to do. Hand out these crosses and just talk to people and just spread that word of God. We can't be afraid. We just got to do it. And what brought me back after so many years of seeing how my family was going, how my parents were, you know, they say nothing's worse than the death of a child. And they faced it twice. But what brought me back was November 26, 1991, when I stood over there at Baptist Hospital, and I watched my daughter being born. Her name is Ellen Claire Lenihan. She goes to National School of the Arts over there. And it just blew me away, and I figured out that day that the good Lord giveth, he taketh, he don't explain why. You just got to believe. So don't ever let yourself down. Don't ever get down about things in your life. You know, you just got to keep on taking care of God. He will take care of you. I could stand here literally just praising God and talking about God for as ever long you guys were willing to stay here. But for some reason, God placed me in the path of this wonderful family. I don't think they saw any fear in me when I was handing that cross out and everything. I'm pretty friendly. But take the time to let the youth get together. Work something out. I mean, how many hours a week do we watch TV? And you can literally make 6 or 7. All I'm saying is make 3. Go to the kids in your high school. Hand them out. Get them to a church. Like I said, I love to see all the youth here. We got about half as much over at Hillcrest. But does anybody have any questions? I mean, just... Yes, ma'am.
I just want to
What's amazing to me is they stopped all the prayer in school and everything. But But the thing that really amazed me was I heard a story one time where there's thousands and thousands of groups popping up within the schools, just like chess clubs, just like math clubs, that they cannot stop. Because it's a club that the kids started out, and that's it. And that's awesome. I think the number was like over 5,000. And that just really impresses me, and these kids are just great. But would anybody else like to ask anything? Yeah. Yes, I don't know if he wants to admit it, but he was playing basketball with me, 44 years old. Most of the guys there between 30 and 40, but he came along with a friend, and he's one heck of a player. He's one heck of a player. He's welcome back anytime, and some of the other kids too, if they want to come down. I'll gladly open the gym. We have a full-size gym down there. Okay.
What?
Yeah. Well, I'm just real proud of the guys at the jail. You know, it's unfortunate. Most of them are repeat offenders. Once you end up in the system, you're part of the system. You know, a normal person driving down the road has no driver's license, gets a warning. If you're in the system in the computer, you're driving down the road and you left your license at home, you're going to jail. You know, and it's just these are real good guys. They come out every night. I had one guy. And he promised he'd come to my church, and I'm sure he's going to show up, Mr. Kimbrough, probably in his mid-60s. He came every night, and then went out to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. Oh yeah, and the time they do these crosses is from 11:30 at night till 3:30 in the morning. I go to work at 11 o'clock at night, I clear my account, make sure the officers are where they're supposed to be at, and I pull the inmates out. I don't go looking for them. They got to be sitting at the table in their unit, ready to come out. I pull the materials out, that I take care of all the materials, and they just go to work. Okay. Hill's Department Store. No, Hill's Grocery Store over on Main Street, Gallatin Road. One time I was working there, I worked off security. Alright? Used to work there. I worked Bellmead Plaza. I worked Sports Season on White Ridge Road. I work another place. There was a man walking out with four girls and his wife. And as they walked out, I said, "Have a wonderful night. God bless. Be safe." And the man turns around, lets his children walk on, and says, "Did you mean that?" And I later found out that he was a pastor, new in town, opening up a small church that only had like 20 members. I said, "Did I mean it?" "Of course I meant it." Handed up some crosses I had in my pocket, and I quoted that prayer. And he looked back at me and said, "I guess you did mean it." That's just one example, right off the top of my head. In the 7 or 8 years I've been handing this out, I was very surprised. I was working at Bellmead Plaza about 2 weeks ago, and somebody refused one of them. It's the first time ever in over 7 years. I don't know if she worked at CVS there, and I don't know what her reasons were. Don't need to know. You take them if you want, you know, just like God. You take them into your heart, or you don't. All we can do is keep on trying to get those people that don't. I run into a lot of these people just over and over again, especially at the part-time jobs and everything, and they're always talking about them. I've had people ask for more, you know, just sending them out. I wish I would have kept a diary on it. I do keep a diary on all the inmates that work and how many they've made and their room numbers, so I can maybe give a copy of it to one of the offenders and they go get them from their rooms. But like I said, I don't go looking for them. They got to want to be doing it. But it's just something I'll continue to do. It's part of my life, and I'll never stop. You know, okay, she's back there telling me time. I hope I'm not taking too much time.
Can you bring up the process of the online room rent?
The prayers I can give you, there's like six of them just on a sheet that you just get a paper cutter, cut them out. I do that down when I'm employed by the sheriff's office when I get a chance to print off like 600 of them or whatever. I just do it. But I'll have some sheets that I'll bring with me that the youth can take and make as many as they need and cut out. But this is the perfect opportunity if you're going to share your life with God, spread His word, and just hand them out. Tell them where they came from. And just live your life for God, and He will bless you. Yes, sir. You're doing fine. Okay. God bless. Any last questions? Well, now I'm going to say goodbye to you wonderful people. I thank you very much for giving me the opportunity of spreading God's word. And I'm hoping you go out and spread His word. And here I've got some of the crosses from the ladies upstate New York that I'm sure the youth will like. Most of them are crosses. Most of them are
crosses. Hey, take all you want. But don't hold on to them. They're to give away. All right, go ahead. Let me say this. Emily wants to end tonight, but God bless you for what you do. And y'all can sit down for a second. Susan was telling us last weekend that the focus, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church's focus for 2009 is going to be on evangelism and missions. What better way to start than with this? I mean, it's so easy, and it. I really feel like God has placed this in our hands. Youth, are you up to the challenge to make these? You are up to the challenge.